It'll be good to have Von back. He's been out for 4 weeks and never sure what that brings, right, in terms of staying refined, staying polished. But I'm sure he's been chomping at the bit to get back, and it'll be nice to have him back. And so, you know, again, it's never about one person, right? Especially when you play up front, it's about the sum of the parts, and it's about four guys rushing as one. And that'll be important for us as we move forward as a defense overall.
Bills head coach Sean McDermott, Von Miller set to return to the lineup. Bills and Dolphins, Sunday, 1 o'clock. Temperatures in the 50s, overcast. Jeremy and Joe with you on a Wednesday as we turn the page to the next week. The Bills, of course, 6-2. And the Ravens traded for Deontay Johnson. Steph Diggs' season is over with a torn ACL. Those are some of your NFL headlines. Joe Marino, the Locked On Bills podcast, joins us on the Western Hotline to preview the Miami game, the rematch, and to also wrap up what happened against Seattle. Joe, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Jeremy.
So, Joe, what was your favorite part about the Seattle game? Which was it? There's the dumb luck, which the Bills had a little bit of that. Seattle had a very, very bad day. But, you know, the Bills made some of their luck and ultimately looked like a dominant team. I mean, Bills fans, I think, came away really happy start to finish.
Yeah, it's tough to narrow it down to one thing because I think there's a lot. But I think the thing that really stands out to me that I'm most excited about is the chemistry that we're seeing develop between Josh Allen and Keon Coleman. Following up his first 100-yard game of the season, the first 100-yard game for any Bills receiver this season, with 5 catches for 70 yards and a touchdown against Seattle. And it's how that production came together. Of course, the touchdown on the 3rd and goal from the 4, a fade route over a good corner in Tariq Woolen, who's like 6'4 with 34-inch arms. I mean, honestly, if you could pick any corner in the league to defend Coleman on a fade route, you'd probably pick Tariq Woolen. You certainly have a heck of a case to be the option. And Keon just wins the ball. And Tariq Woolen's hand was right through it. And he just out-muscled him for it and got a touchdown. And then you're seeing him work from the slot in a no-hitch seam shot where Josh just lays it out there and trusts that Keon's going to get to that spot and go get the football. You saw on the PI that he forced later in the game against Tariq Woolen where he was able to beat press coverage with a hard inside step, arm over to get free. He got on top of that corner quick, and Tariq Woolen had no choice but to pull him back and interfere to prevent a touchdown. That, and you saw a second window throw on a play action pass that was called back due to penalty. But the point being is the chemistry that is blossoming is obvious between Josh and Keon, and there's a lot of trust that Josh is developing very quickly here, and the plays are really spectacular. He's getting yards after the catch. He's winning in those contested situations in a lot of ways. He's very quickly become the player Brandon Bean told us he would be for this team, and so it's off to a great start, but it really feels like the last 2 weeks, and especially against Seattle, that piece is what's really, really getting me excited.
Yeah, the Coleman piece, you know, Joe, one of the things we wondered about when the Bills took him, it was a receiver draft, and I think a lot of the receivers are living up to the hype right now, pretty much throughout the first round and into the second round, and Coleman's one of those guys. To me, he's another that represents how there are a lot of different kinds of receivers, and maybe more importantly, there are a lot of different ways to win. He might not be a separator, but he's winning in ways that he can win.
Yeah, there's no question about it. And I think probably maybe the most impressive thing I can say about Keon Coleman is that so far he has 396 receiving yards. 94% of his passing snaps have come on the outside. Among the 53 receivers in the NFL with at least 300 receiving yards, nobody has played a higher percentage of their snaps on the outside than Coleman. Meanwhile, he's number 2 in the NFL in yards after catch per reception. That's a really unique blend of things. That's not common, right? You typically, if you're playing all your snaps on the outside, those are not favorable plays to get yards after catch. And it's difficult, right? That was one of the things we talked about with Stephon Diggs, is a big portion of his snaps all come as an outside receiver, never in the slot. And those are heavyweight battles up on the line of scrimmage where you don't have that two-way go and you're pinned up against the sideline. And so I think through all of it, and you mentioned he's a unique player, I think that blend of production from wide alignments with yards after catch is really, really unique.
Lastly on him, blocking-wise, how well is that going? Because there were two plays I think we all saw on Sunday, one into the bench, and there was another one where he pointed at, I think, Woolen and then pancaked him. So there was those two plays. Is that going well in general, though, for him, like the rest of the stuff?
Yeah. It's definitely something that he's performing well with, is those stock blocks on the perimeter, which is obviously a big ask of the Bills receivers in this offense. They got a block, and you know, Keon's played the most snaps of any receiver on the team, and that's because of his ability to function as a blocker. And so I think that's been an area of his game that I didn't know how he'd perform. And I think it's going quite well. And, you know, you don't drive dudes into the bench and put them on their back and have some attitude towards it if it's not important to you. And I think that's been really encouraging. And I think really ever since that game was at Jacksonville, he was suspended for the first quarter. You know, that was kind of an interesting moment, but maybe it was a real turning point because, man, things have really, really skyrocketed from there.
Joe Marino, Locked On Bills podcast. All right, Joe, defensively, it looks like, you know, I was listening a bunch of different breakdowns of what happened, and all that Seattle really had in this game was a bit of the checkdown game. I think they missed DK Metcalf a lot, so that's got to be put out there. But otherwise, I mean, Geno Smith, I wrote a quote from him going into the game, how he wants to be blitzed. He welcomes the blitz. And yet, whenever the Bills got pressure, whether it was a blitz or not, like, he dropped back and he did not have answers down the field. There were a lot of dump-offs and a lot of underneath throws because there was nothing available anywhere else.
Yeah, I don't think he attempted a pass that was targeted 20 yards or more down the field, so I think a lot of that was the pressure looks that the Bills were dialing up. They were pretty effective. I know they didn't get a bunch of sacks, maybe just one sack in the game, but pressure was very, very consistent. And, yeah, I think the absence of DK Metcalf absolutely helped the Bills because it took away their best vertical receiver in their field stretcher, which changes all of the spacing. But I think Ryan Grubb, their offensive coordinator, did come in with a plan that was designed to – kind of take advantage of where the Bills have been vulnerable on defense, which is the quick passing game, which is the screens. And so I think credit to the Bills for being a lot more ready for those types of plays. A lot of good, just stay leveraged, drive downhill, make tackles, where in the past I think that they were falling a lot more victim to play fakes and getting out of their responsibilities, and then you're getting gashed on quick dump-offs. And so I thought the Bills were more ready. Their screen recognition was a lot better, but yeah, I think the layer of not having DK Metcalf certainly played a big part in how the Bills could probably be a little bit more aggressive in that and playing defense that way.
Are you seeing something like when they're in goal to go situations that's allowed them to be so strong, especially in the past couple weeks? I know for the season they're ranking pretty good on that front, but the Jet game and then this past week, like before Geno falls, I mean, that's a fourth down, right? Like they've looked pretty strong when they're getting in tight there in the red zone.
Yeah, I mean, it's just coming down to execution. There's only so many different play calls you can call in a short yardage down there. And I think the Bills, their defensive line, if I've noticed anything, they play with great leverage in those situations, and that frees up their second level to run and fill, and it's worked together well. And, yeah, I mean, it's been an impressive situation, and that's like, you know, you can catch yourself watching games and saying, just let them score. Well, no, not at all. I think the Bills have had some very good moments of, you know, Josh Allen makes that tackle. They go first to go from the seven, no points. Thinking back to, was it the Jets game? Taylor Rapp with a big tackle that forced them in a goal-to-go situation. The Bills got out of that as well. So it's a matter of kind of the identity of the defense, which is make them continue to execute, and eventually they're going to make a mistake. And I think that shows up even when you're pinned up against your own goal line.
Joe Marino, Locked On Bills podcast. Joe, if there's another trade to be made, and we saw Baltimore make another trade for a receiver yesterday, the Chiefs made a trade for Josh Uche along with DeAndre Hopkins. If there's another trade to be made on this roster, where is it?
I think your most logical spots are defensive tackle, defensive end, and safety. I feel like that's where you can really get upgrades and get reasonable answers that can step in and help you. I think Von Miller's return is going to matter a lot. But you know, you're still seeing a decent amount of Casey Tuhill on the field. Epinesa's pushing 60-70% of snaps. I think there's room for another player on the edge to come in and add to that mix. And then if you do that, I think it does free up more opportunities for DeJuan Smoot, even Epinesa, maybe even Rousseau, to rush from interior gaps, right? And so I think you have some space there. And then on the contrary, you could just improve your interior defensive line with kind of strengthening that rotation. And I certainly think there's room for Jones and Oliver to be more impactful this year, but I think the depth can be upgraded. And then will the Bills pursue a safety? And if they did, would they be able to come in and earn the trust and be able to kind of stiff arm DeMar Hamlin from being the starter, who I think DeMar is a fine depth player. I don't think he's a preferred starter. I don't know that he's the worst player in the world, like I think a lot of the conversation kind of paints him to be, but he certainly feels upgradable if the Bills can find an answer there. You know, I think there's a lot of candidates. Ty Matthew from the Saints really pops for me as an option there. So those would be the three most logical positions to me, and I guess we're less than a week away from finding out if that's going to happen.
The Bills often dominate the Dolphins almost actually every time they play them. Is there any reason for you to think that this Sunday could be different?
Well, you know, you'd like to think that the Bills will handle their business for sure. The Dolphins are obviously not having a good season, tons of injuries on their defense. And, you know, but they still have that explosive dynamic with their offense. They're running the ball pretty well. They've had over 150 rushing yards in each of the last three games. And so, yeah, I mean, you got to play the game. It certainly feels like the Bills should handle their business, but it feels like if there ever was a chance, right, that they can come steal one in Orchard Park, something that they haven't been able to do in a long time, you know, you got to make sure you take care of your business here because, you know, this AFC is really goofy, right? I think you have only eight teams that are within a game of 500, which is crazy. Like, that's it. You have the 4-4 Colts, and then it's 3-5 or worse, 9-16 seeds. So this race for 6-7 in the AFC is these teams. They're 2-6. Probably don't think they're out of it. So, and the Dolphins are 2-5. They're one back of like the Colts and two back of the Chargers. So I don't know. I think it's pretty wide open. I'm not sure they're ready to punt on the season. So part of if they're going to do it though, they got to go win in Buffalo this week. So. Yeah, you got to play the games, but I do expect the Bills to handle the business.
Last thing, Joe, like looking at the AFC, you know, the Chiefs are the Chiefs. We know the Chiefs. The Ravens, felt like for a while there, you had a lot of Bills fans that were talking about the Ravens like they were some unstoppable force. Then they go and they lose on the road to Jameis Winston. So was there anything in that game you saw or anything you see from the Ravens where, sure, a positive game script, which is, of course, what they got against the Bills, like they're not a perfect team. They're not some team that can't be handled. And would I don't know about picking them to lose to the Bills in a matchup, but you'd probably pick a much different game.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. And, you know, I think it's fair. Divisional games are always a little different, right? So that's the Browns. This is a Ravens team that also lost to the Raiders earlier in the year. So they're not bulletproof. They had this moment last year, if you recall. Like, they went and they beat the Lions, like, 38-6.
And they dominated the Niners, too, along the way.
Exactly, right? And it was very much like, oh, boy, this is an unstoppable team. And then, you know, there's obviously the point of – They have a lot to prove in the playoffs, right? I mean, I know that they got to the AFC Championship game last year, but, I mean, they got a gift in the Texans after they had their first-round bye to get to Kansas City, and they lost that game. So, I think they're a good football team. I'm not taking anything away. I don't think anyone's excited to play the Ravens, but I think the fact of painting them as a wagon that is impossible for any team to beat, I mean, obviously that's just not true.
Joe Marino, Locked On Bills podcast, and Locked On NFL Scouting podcast. Joe, thanks, and enjoy the game Sunday. We'll talk next week.
All right, guys. Thank you.
You can find the Locked On Bills podcast where you get your podcasts. Would highly recommend subscribing, making it a part of your day. Locked On Bills and Locked On NFL Scouting. Jeremy and Joe with you. I have a stat of the day. I can get you when we get back. It's on a crazy, crazy good offense in the league, which is doing something that's never been done since the merger. And then they did it again. That's how good things are going in Detroit. Get you the stat of the day next.